What is up, guys, and welcome to the Meeple Minded Podcast, the podcast where we talk all things tabletop gaming. My name is Jason.
And I'm James.
And I'm Ant.
How are you doing, guys? How's it hanging? How's it been?
All good.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Pretty good.
I mean, it's, what, an hour after we last recorded?
So. It is.
How have you been this week? Oh, hang on a minute. We haven't been that week yet, have we?
Haven't created that week yet, but just gaming and working as always, Jason.
Gaming and working as always. Copy and paste what we said in the last episode.
Exactly.
Yeah, this startup bit's going to be a bit awkward, isn't it? Because that whole intro bit is just thrown into the pit of fire. Yeah.
Well, following on from our last conversation, Jason, I'm still on holiday.
Well, lucky you. That's good. And well, actually, even if we were recording a week later, you'd still be on holiday.
I'd still be on holiday.
Exactly.
2 weeks.
And we still hate you for it.
Yes.
In fact, by the time this comes out, you'll still be on damn holiday. How dare you?
Yes. Let the hate flow
through.
Let the hate
flow, yes.
And course through your veins.
So what games have you played? Oh, no. Yeah, this is a little bit awkward, but it is good to be recording again. Our throats are probably just a little bit croaky, I'd imagine.
No, we're still good.
We've already done an hour and a half's worth of recording, and we've had about 20 minutes break. I mean, I can tell we're all middle-aged because, you know, there was a break. There had to be a break.
There had to be a break.
And there was, it was like going to a public convenience and there was a queue. So,
like all the great plays, Jason, it has an interval.
Of course, it does. Although I didn't see the ice cream lady come round.
No.
Oh, it's not a bar. I was most displeased.
I know, but I mean, yeah, this house is a bit unstocked.
Do they still do the ice cream lady thing?
Do you know what? I don't know. I haven't been to a theatre in a ridiculous amount of time.
I don't think they did the last time I went.
Okay. I didn't know if that was still a thing or not. I'm sure it is, like, but
they had the concession stand, but it's more like a cinema, you know, where it's out in the...
What's the point in going to the theatre if you haven't got the ice cream lady that brings the ice cream to you those really expensive tiny little tubs with about 3 scoops in? You know, what's the point?
It's like a traditional thing, really, isn't it, the ice cream lady?
I mean, I always paid to go for the ice cream lady, and like the show was like...
You go for the ice cream lady, you don't go for the actual show.
Exactly. The show was like either the cherry on top of the cake.
I love it. Just before you, any minute now. Any minute, it's coming.
Yes, because why would I go to a supermarket and buy a big tub of Haagen-Dazs for like £2 when I could go to the theatre and buy a 3-scoop one for 5?
Yes, but it wasn't served to me by the person. And it was already, that was the key thing, James. You can go to the supermarket and buy a nice big ice cream tub. However, you then had to wait for it to become soft enough to actually eat the damn thing. Whereas with the lady, she was so slow that it was already melted that you could drink it. It was brilliant.
It's a waste of a wooden spoon, really, isn't it? That came
it really
with the thing.
Is. You just give me a straw. Give me a straw. Because that was the thing. Proper Haagen-Dazs. So none of this modern fangled bits in it, Ben and Jerry
style. For a Haagen-Dazs milkshake. Not too bad, I guess.
Exactly. Exactly. But there you go.
I think we're going off topic here.
We've gone off topic, but we have killed enough time to warrant the intro. So therefore, we can move on. Our topic that we're doing today is we're going to be doing our top 5 games of our childhood, or top 5 games we played as kids, or
our first top 5.
Our first top 5. That is, we probably did this top 5 years ago without even knowing it. But before we do, I want to ask a couple of questions.
Go for it.
Maybe just one. But when you're thinking about the games that we're about to talk about, what is your criteria for picking those games?
I think it's the amount of time I actually spent playing them.
Okay.
Because there were a lot. Mm. And I mean a lot that I had to go and choose from. Because there were always a bunch of games that, I mean, you guys well know Saturday morning cartoons would always have adverts of the newest board game on it and stuff like that. And that's always the one you want. And then obviously if you don't get it, a friend of yours gets it and you play it. But my ones are the ones I were actually purchased for me and I spent the most time on as a kid.
Nice. Now, obviously, for people that don't know, Ant, you're a few years older than myself.
Yeah, rub it in, Jason. Jesus.
Twist the knife, Jace. I mean,
yes, I'm an 80s kid.
Yeah, well, technically, so am I.
That's all right, then.
So am I.
Just.
So, this is what I mean. You are only a little bit older than us, so there shouldn't be too much discrepancy in the games. You know, you're not going to be talking about, like...
No, I mean... I think
proper old
you'll
school.
Know, I think you'll know about 3 out of my 5,
okay,
at least.
Yeah.
I'll be very surprised if you know the full 5.
Okay. Challenge.
Yeah.
Challenge. Like, I've always said that I was born in the wrong era. Like, I know I'm an 80s kid, but with the way
could
I
you imagine
work.
If we were born this era, but the amount of board games that are out now compared to what we had? Oh, good God.
Know, in all seriousness, we might have been born in the 80s, but we're 90s children.
Yeah.
We grew up in the 90s.
Yeah. I've always said I should have been born in the 60s with my general outlook on life on a lot of things. So, and my taste in TV shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. What about you, James? What was the criteria for your one?
So, I'm similar to Anne. They're not necessarily my favorite games from my childhood. They're just the standout ones. Like, as soon as you said it, they're the five that popped into my head because I probably played them the most as a child.
The most memorable. Yeah.
Not necessarily for good, like I said, for being favorites, but they're just the ones that immediately went pop.
Yeah. So that's obviously the first question. The second question is, and because I didn't set any parameters for this, I would go to you, James, and sort of say, what sort of age range would you say your games fall in? Like when you played them, when you started playing them, or when you finished playing them?
Technically, my list with my number one, I still technically play it to this day. The others,
I know what that one is.
Yeah, probably. probably cuts off around the sort of 10, 12.
Okay.
Sort of, because that's really when I stopped playing board games, quote unquote, until getting back into the hobby of the modern board games.
Yeah. Nice. What about you, Ant?
Yeah, I mean, this is really weird because my last two, all of them are within the child age, but the last two are range 8+, but you would never have thought that they wouldn't be 8+ today.
Right. Okay.
They would probably be 14+.
Okay.
Now.
Interesting.
So
very interesting.
Well, we lived in the '80s.
Well, yeah.
Safety. It doesn't matter if you choke on that. I mean,
exactly. Yeah, you're fine. You're good. You're good.
You can play that as soon as you're born. Like, obviously.
Oh god. Like, just slight tangent. Like, I've seen a couple of old school adverts, probably more from your generation, but from a few of our American listeners might notice these because I've seen like lawn darts.
Yeah.
Like. What? Yeah. This is literally a giant dart with a metal spike on the end that you throw in your garden. I believe they are banned now.
Yeah, it basically was like the children-friendly version or as close to children-friendly version as you could get of like the Olympic sport, like javelin.
Basically a javelin. It literally had a metal spike on the end for it to dig into the grass. It's like, and you just hoofed it.
Yeah.
Safety first.
Well, these are the people that used to make toys out of lead.
Oh, yes. Lead paint on toys.
So,
hey, we turned out all right.
Yeah, look what we're doing now.
I'm surprised we were even here because that's like our parents' generation. That's lead paint on toys. It's like, how did we even become born?
Yeah, exactly. But I only really had those couple of questions because I'm always eager just to crack on with the top five. Is there anything you guys wanted to ask about anybody else's list before we crack on?
No, let's just do it.
Okay, well, let's do it then.
It's a new soundboard. Is he going to push the right button?
I think we've used it a couple of times. I'm pretty sure I know the right button, but let us find out as we go into our top fives.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the countdown.
I think we should let the noob start with his number five.
I knew you were going to do that. Right.
Welcome to the show, man.
Right, here we go then. My number five is a game from the 80s called Alley Cats. Does anyone know what this is?
Do you know what? I think I recognise it, but I can't.
I have no idea.
This is probably the most cheapest looking board game you'd ever see in your life. But this was one of those games that my mum had probably got from a charity shop or a car boot, whatever. The reason I picked it is because it was one of those games where it's all set up like Lee says, like an alley or like a street, whatnot. And there are literally bins everywhere. And they either have a fish inside it or a dog. And the aim of the game is to grab so many of these fish and bring back home these fish. But if a dog chases you and catches you, you lose all those fish and you've got to go find them all over again. And the bins get swapped around and whatnot. And it was just so much fun for its time. I mean, the bins themselves are like red and blue or something. But the dogs, the little sandies for the dogs, it's that little gamble. It's like, is it in there? Is it not in there sort of thing? Because you can still essentially run away, but then you have to roll dice for yourself as well as the dog that chases you. And obviously roll high enough, the dog will catch up with you and whatnot. And it's a it's essentially a race to, and you know, the other player gets to do it as well, start all over again. And the first person, I think it's to get 5 fish and bring it back. And the fish are just like little bony fish. Are they actually attached to your character as well? That was just something I used to love playing with my family at the time. And I wish I still had it to this day. All the other games I'm going to mention that I still own, but this one I don't, and I would love to get hold of a copy of it just for nostalgia reasons. So that one definitely I had to mention. I'm quite surprised I remembered it as well, because I was thinking of the name of it and I couldn't remember the name of it, but I think it's Alley Cats.
It is Alley Cats.
Yeah.
The Alley Cats.
There we go.
Yeah. I'm actually looking at a list.
Have you got a picture of it?
I've got a picture of it, a few pictures of it, in fact, on eBay at the moment.
How much?
It is selling for £40.
It's not too bad for something that old, I guess.
It's quite interesting. Like, I'm really liking it, actually, because you've got these nice little bins.
That's it. There they are. Oh, my goodness.
Like, little 3D bins. You've got the fish skeletons.
That's it. And they attach to your little character, yeah. if you have them.
I mean, the board itself, you know, by modern standards is terrible. But ultimately, it's a blue background with like a Jumanji style.
That's it, yep. So essentially, if you found a fish, you could actually spend, you know, take it back with you, and then you have one for later. But if you continue and then attach more fish to you and the dog catches you, you lose them all.
Yeah.
So you gamble whether to take them back or not and keep going. It's really fun, man. A lot of fun for 5-year-old aunt at the time, I guess. It was, whatever.
Hell yeah. I just one more comment from me on it. It was like, I'm looking at the standees that come with it now.
There you go. It's not too bad.
Sassy Cat may be a bit risque today.
Is there a pirate one as well? I think he's got...
Eye patch. Yeah, he's got the eye patch. Then you've got the geriatric one with a walking stick.
Yeah, there we go. My goodness. And then this is such a big...
The confused one that looks like he's got something hidden behind his back.
Does he?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of cool. The standees look better quality than some games I've seen nowadays.
That's it, because they were just stickers on plastic at the time. It wasn't like any cardboard or anything.
Yeah.
But no, it's just, I think I might have to dig out the £40 and just get it for my kids as well.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably cheaper versions of it on the likes of the Bay of E as well.
The Bay of E.
But yeah, that was the first one that popped up when I searched for it on Google. There we go.
I'm glad it's still around.
So there you go.
Look, and I'm not the only one who played it.
1970s is when that game
was. Is that when it came out? Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not that old, but hey.
It qualifies. It's on Board Game Geek, released in 1976.
Wow. Okay.
Who was an uncredited designer, so there's some legend out there that's created an amazing game that Anthony remembers.
No
one knows who he is, but it was published by Ideal. Well, that's another one of those that we all had when we were kids. So there you go.
Okay, that's my number 5.
Yeah, it's very nice. James, your number 5, please, sir.
My number 5, Mousetrap.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
The classic.
Go round, build up the mousetrap one by one. You never got to that point because the slightest knock of the table would set it off.
Of course it would. That's the thing, yeah.
I don't think I ever... Well, actually, no.
I can't remember the base of it. You've got to grab so much cheese and then...
I think it's like 5 or 6 cheese.
And then you have to catch your opponent in a trap or something.
The real game was building it and having it still standing when you started the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think. I don't remember the game that much.
It's not even that. Because if I remember correctly, the trap pieces go on as the game progresses.
Yeah.
And it's just that sort of thing of... The pieces were so delicate that it was effectively like a perpetual motion machine where it like all did different things. But the slightest bump of the table and it would go off.
Yeah. It kind of had that sort of dominoes effect, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like the idea was if you set something off, it set everything off in sequence.
But knocking the table, that's not part of the game. Fragile.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's, I've got to reset the whole thing.
Which was always a problem with kids because we're very, very fidgety as kids. And of course, you're going to bang the table.
No, you're not where your parents are like, stop moving all the time.
But that's, I think, unfortunately, that's the reason it sticks in my mind is not the actual gameplay. No. It's the trap. Touch it.
Yes.
It's literally the trap that's the table presence of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I believe it's gone through different, you know, versions of it, as because it's still around today, Mousetrap, isn't it?
You can still buy
but
it.
There's still different. There's like a different version. So a majority of it's the same, but I think some of it, the old version used to have like a bathtub in it and then a massive ball. That's gone now. It's something else now and whatnot now.
Yeah, it's been through its iterations throughout the years, but you know, the premise of it has stayed the same.
I'm amazed it's still around.
So am I. Like it's, but then again, I look at the other mass market games that they sort of sell with kids, and it generally has a theme of poo or something like that, a dog poo, and then I'm just like, you know what,
hey, it works.
Doesn't seem that bad, but Mousetrap, fantastic game as a kid. Can't remember the game very much, but as you said, I really enjoyed the building of it.
Yeah,
and then the inevitable annoyance of dad when I knocked the table, you know.
Yep.
And he'd start snapping, shouting at me, and then mum would come running in and go, "Well, you shouldn't be doing that."
Yeah, or the inevitable piece that had the elastic band attachment and it would snap when you try and put it on.
I just love watching that track. As soon as you hit it and it just goes, it's like...
It's exhilarating watching it.
Yeah, because at the time, like, I was playing it, Goonies was out. So Goonies is a movie full of booby traps, and you're like, oh, I've actually got one on my board now. And then you watch it go, and when it actually works, it's phenomenal. It's such a great experience.
Yeah. Brings joy to every child and hatred to every adult.
Yep.
That is a really good number five, James. Very, very good. I'm going to come in with one that I played slightly older, which was Battleship.
The original.
The original.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. A nice sort of two-player strategic deduction game, if you want to try and go with all that fancy terminology. But let's be honest, as kids, we played it as a massive luck fest. You place your ships on your side of the board, and your opponent does it on the other side of the board, and then you randomly guess where you're going to drop a bomb if you happen to hit a ship. Excellent. You've then got to try and hit, I think all the ships are different sizes.
Yep.
And the idea of the game is you need to sink your opponent's ships.
Could you essentially say it's like the original hidden movement game?
It kind of is. I mean, it's not really hidden movement.
It's not hidden movement per se, but you are trying to find out where they are still without, because I believe it's boarded up so you can't see the other player's side, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's you what get, I mean. It's the deduction side of it.
Yeah. Your ships are on the lower side.
Yeah.
And then on the bit that's blocking your opponent's view, you put pins in it. So you would say like...
So you mark it, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah, A5, and Jason says miss. So you put a white thing in A5.
I know I've hit there and nothing's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, when you hit their ship, it was a red pin. That was something of the era, actually, wasn't it? White and red pins.
Yeah, and same as Mousetrap, it's still around today. I believe that, again, there's different versions. I remember there was an electronic one or something.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me. The
and I remember that was... I mean, I think I remember playing that. That was so good, the electronic one.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've... do you know what? It's a game that I would happily play with my son nowadays, if I'm honest. There's nothing... You know, a lot of the games of the era I have very bad memories of, but I can't say that about Battleship because I just didn't. I just had lots of fun with
absolutely
it. I was not, you know, I was never focused enough to actually plan out a strategy and actually figure out how my opponent thinks.
Yeah, there isn't much of a strategy to it because you place the ships down randomly, and it is as soon as you can only put them in sort of lengthways or vertically
yeah.
or horizontally. So it's like as soon as you get a hit,
yeah,
you kind of have a rough idea where it is.
Yeah,
yeah.
But then you still, it's either one of those six around that hit, isn't it?
But
it's a gamble.
I don't know about you guys, but when I was playing it, the main joy I got though was actually when they were attacking me, and you'd see, oh, I'm going to go for E5, and I knew that if he'd gone E4, he would have hit me.
Mm.
He goes E5, you missed. And then the next time he goes E3, that's the other side of the ship. Ah, you miss me again and you don't know.
Mm.
You know, and he ends up getting four pins around your ship and he hasn't managed to do it. And you're sitting there all smug. And then the next one is bang, slap bang in the middle of my destroyer.
And you feel so good that you've actually got a hit as well. What a classic, though. I mean, again, simple mechanic to it. Amazing that it's still around to this day. And sometimes, I mean, I see a lot of people, because I work at Gatwick, a lot of people buy the travel version of that as well.
Oh, yeah.
Take it with them. So that's another great one for traveling.
See, even the original version wasn't particularly big. It was, it was a huge game.
I never really understood Travel Battleship, because like you said, it's like, it's not that big. It's two little folding things that are about that.
And from what I remember, like,
I think it's just the downsize of it all, isn't it? You can actually have it on one of those little trays or something, maybe.
The version I had that I remember distinctly was that it was actually just one unit, but it was in two halves, so you lifted it up.
Yeah,
and it would connect or something, wouldn't it?
They would connect at the top, That was the version I remember.
You see, I think I might have had the travel version because it was two separate ones, and then when you packed it away, they kind of slotted together. I think
that might be the travel version then.
Yeah, I did have a travel version as well, I remember. But as with all things I remember of travel games in the era, was the pieces got lost incredibly quickly, and you ended up just taking the full-size version with you anyway. Mm. So, there you go. That is my number five, is Battleship, the two-player strategic deduction extravaganza / ultimate luck fest.
Yep. That they somehow managed to make a film out of.
They made a film.
I like the film. Come at me, folks. I enjoyed the movie.
That is a topic for another conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I still struggle. It's like when I heard that they were making a film based on Battleship, the game, I was like, what?
Yeah.
I'm just I've not seen it. I'm just going to hold my hands. I've genuinely not seen it. I'm just imagining some like country in the dystopian future or something that.
Totally
with,
wrong.
A kid going, shoot at E4.
No, no. But they somehow managed to get that into the film.
Oh, for God's sake.
But you got to watch it to believe it, Jason, honestly.
Oh, dear.
We'll have a board game night.
Yeah.
Board game movie night.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk about that.
Moving on.
Moving on. Number four.
Who's 10? Mine?
Anthony. Okay. Back to you, sir.
Back to me. Right. Kind of going with James's mousetrap version of it. This is a castle full of booby traps. It is Ghost Castle.
Oh, yes.
The original one from the 80s. They have re-released it. Hasbro's re-released it recently, a couple of years ago. But this one, I'm going with the original. If no one knows what the game is, you play a set of characters that need to reach the top of this ghost castle, avoid the booby traps, and shut the very top of it where a skull gets dropped after every player's turn.
Mm-hmm.
After the player takes a turn, they roll, move their character, then you have to spin a wheel. And that wheel would either give them an extra dice to roll again, it would make them drop a skull down at the tower, the center of the tower, and that would activate one of many booby traps. And it would be different every time depending on where the skull drops down to. But the production value on this game is just it's brilliant. Like, it's literally two connected plastic pieces together that make a little tower, but the adventure between that, you go through different parts of the castle. Like, you go through the outside of it, there's a trap door that has a an axe that comes down, there's another one where the floors move, there's another one where a skeleton knocks you over. It's fantastic for what it was at the time. And the little details in there as well, like if you look inside one of the castles, like, you know, like your Castle Grayskull dice tower there, Jason, you look inside it, there's like little eyes beating back at you and everything. It's just so good for something that was made out entirely out of plastic or cardboard. Another little thing on there is where the characters spin the wheel, they can be petrified and they can essentially miss a turn to keep spinning the wheel until they can be non-petrified. It's just brilliant. Yeah. Me and my daughter play this game all the time. I've still got this is one of my ones I still have.
Nice.
Every ritual, which is barely hanging in there, let's put it that way. There's still a few pieces of it stuck together with sellotape. But I love this game. I love the theme to it. I'm very much into my horror, spooky stuff and whatnot. And for a kid's version of a haunted house, I'm there, mate. I just had to be in the top five.
Was that... I'm trying to remember. I remember the game, 100%. Yeah. I remember the game. But was that the one that came with those like little ghost things that you put... I think you put over a character or
something?
Yeah,
that's the petrified face.
That's it. And it was like... It kind of reminded me like when you go on like a Halloween thing as a kid, as a ghost.
That's right.
Where you just stick a white sheet over your head.
Yes, sir.
Cut some eye holes in it. And that's what
that's what it looked like, Again, there were cardboard pieces, but that was a plastic piece that you put over the top.
That was
terrified, not petrified. That's very Harry Potter, I'm saying. it's just, again, very... with the mousetrap. I think the mousetrap was out first, and then this came out like after. But I just love the idea of the skull you drop down, and it's never the same thing, never the same trap twice. It's always something different depending on how it drops in the middle of that tower. I just loved it. Brilliant.
I don't know if it was a special version that I played with or whatever, but I remember those particular pieces being made of that sort of glow-in-the-dark
plastic. Yes, I was about to say that, yes.
And it was just sort of like... so unnecessary because you're never going to play this game in the dark.
And
you've done it.
But no, we did it because you would play it, you would do your turn in the light, and then you would turn the switch a lot. We used to do this as kids, and switch a lot off just to pop that, you know, see the skull, and then drop it down and then put the lights on to see what trap it did. It's like, yeah. Oh, it was so good, man.
I remember
absolutely fun.
I think the few once or twice that I played it with my friends, we had very much of the time where we were playing it had a dimmer switch on the on the thing, so we actually ended up playing the game with it almost all the way down.
Oh,
so
nice.
You had enough light to see what you were doing, but there was not enough light for those things not to be glowing.
Oh, that's a shame.
So it was so good. Really, really enjoy that game. It's a great choice. James, did you ever play that?
I didn't. I've never.
You missed out, man.
Never seen this game.
Have you not? No. Like I said, they've re-released it. Hasbro's re-released it. It's good enough. I don't think the artwork is as good as what the original was. But yeah, I think you can get it now for like £16 or something now.
Yeah,
it's not too bad.
Like that. It's not particularly.
It's essentially
expensive.
The same game, but yeah, they've added like a wall that goes around the board instead of the original didn't have. But yeah.
Yeah, I think, I'll be honest, I think the new version lacks the charm of the original.
100%.
But I mean, by modern standards, the game is, it's all right.
But
it's
I'll be honest, I forgot I still had my original. It wasn't until they re-released it and I thought, oh, that's a game my family can play, you know? So we got it out of the loft and, you know, reintroduced it instead of buying the remake. So I'm kind of glad she's played the OG.
Of course.
And then, because, you know, she wants to get the new one since when this one breaks, but I'm just glad she'd done the first one first.
Nice. Yeah, very good. Very good choice.
Thanks, mate.
Jamez, would you like to go next?
So my number four is The Game of Life.
Oh. And oh, how it doesn't prepare you for the game of
this
actual
is the one
life.
This is the one where you lose money. You're meant to lose money or something, is it?
Yeah, something weird. Yeah, it's essentially, I disagree with that. I think it prepares you for life perfectly because you lose money completely. You make all the wrong choices.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, it's a very old-fashioned board game where it's just like a track from, you have a start line and a finish line, and it does branch in certain places. And you have, instead of a dice roll, it's got like a spinner.
I was
going
to say, it doesn't have a wheel in it or something. Yeah,
yeah. To determine how many spaces you move. It is essentially a roll to move game, but instead of dice, it's got the spinner. But like the branches will diverge at points where you like either decide to go straight into work or you go to university and things like that. And you get a job and you choose whether to have a family or not and that. And it's like, you always make the wrong choices. You end up broke and you never get to live in the mansion. Mm. That's all I remember from that game.
So is it the objective to be the first to lose all your money first, is it? Or?
No, the actual objective is to have enough money to live in the mansion because there are two finishing spaces.
Okay.
But you never get to live in the mansion because you made all the wrong choices and you lost all your money.
Just like real life.
Yep. So I think it prepares you for life perfectly. It sets you up for what to expect. It's like, you see this? You won't get it.
See, when I played it as a kid, I don't think I thought of it like, I just thought, oh, there's a wheel. Whee!
Yeah, I mean, at the time I was playing, I don't think I understood the premise of it at all.
See, I remember the advert for it. It was such a charming song, like the game of life. And it's like, when you actually think about it, it's about losing money. It's like, Jesus. That's...
Thing is, when you actually think about it, that sort of era of games, it was all about losing. Like, I remember Go for Broke.
Yes.
It was about the same sort of time. And the idea was, you need to be the first to lose all of your money. And then, like, obviously, the dreaded Monopoly was just sort of like, wasn't about losing money, but you were going to lose a lot of it. Like, there's going to be one victor who will be stupidly minted, but the rest of you will be poor, broke, probably in jail, or with lots of parking fines.
Yes, exactly.
See, the dreaded Monopoly actually taught me far more about life than the game of life did, because it taught me that if you were broke, you beat the banker up and rob the bank.
Well, there you go. We know the type of game, how James used to play games.
It worked,
didn't
it?
I'm so glad I'm not playing Monopoly with him now. Not as a banker, anyway.
So,
is that not how it works in real life?
Well, obviously.
For some people,
especially now times it is, yeah.
So when James isn't here next week, it's because he's beaten up a banker.
He's on the run.
He's on the run.
He's gone to Mexico. Jet blows over.
Yeah, can't blame
him. Go straight to jail. Do not pass go.
Yeah, well, as far as I'm aware, though, all you got to do to get out of jail, though, is roll two dice, roll the double, or pay someone.
Or get out of the
get out of jail.
Get
a jail free card, yeah. Nice. So anything else you want to add to your game of life?
No, I think that's about it.
Excellent stuff.
Good choice.
My number four, I kind of think this is a bit predictable, but it was a big part of my childhood. Later on in my childhood, secondary school, which was, of course, the Pokemon trading card game.
Okay.
Which is obviously when it came out. Following on from the success of the Game Boy games, which I had, Pokemon was the natural progression. I loved having the cards. I primarily collected the cards. I didn't play the game as much, but I did play the game eventually, and I really enjoyed it. It was a very good game. It was unlike anything else that I'd ever played. So for me, it was a huge change to my gaming life, if you will, because yeah, I was that was arguably the most modern, air quotes, game I'd ever played.
Right.
You know, still going to this day, still going very, very strong to this day. It's obviously one of the big sort of two or three TCGs that there are that dominate the scene. But yeah, obviously I'm talking about OG Pokemon trading card game, the first base set.
I didn't even know you got into Pokemon.
I did, yeah, yeah.
How come you don't do it now then?
Do you know what? I kind of fell out of love with it, much as I did with the tabletop hobby in general.
Right.
When I left school. And then I did actually get back into it a few years ago, but the honest reason is it's not that I fell out of love with Pokemon itself, it's I fell out of love with the TCG model, because obviously back then it was like one set a year, which was fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But now you're sort of three sets a year. There's just, you've got to spend so much money to keep up with it.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I'm not really into TCGs now. I still like Pokemon, providing it's the original 150. I don't need the other 4,473,000 that they've come up with since.
Yeah.
But yeah, OG Pokemon, it was huge when I was a kid. It was a massive craze. I don't think it ever really stopped. It might have dwindled a bit, but it was still huge. I know you're not a huge fan of Pokemon yourself, Ant.
To be honest, mate, I've never really got into it. I attempted it, but I couldn't get the fascination of it. I get it was big, it's huge, it still is now today. I tried, but yeah. I find it very repetitive and boring and whatnot,
yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, teach the right, mate. I'm not going to judge on that.
It's fair. And as I said, it was very of the time.
Yeah.
For me, I was the demographic that they were going for, because yeah. I was secondary school. I had, you know, I was that age that I was annoying enough to my parents that they would buy the stuff.
Yeah.
But I was also of the age where I could earn my own money through pocket money and what have you to buy more.
So me being slightly bit older to you, I only knew Pokemon through video games.
Mm.
So I never knew there was a trading card game or a card game of some sort. I just thought it was literally a video game and a TV series.
Yeah.
When I eventually knew of it, it was a movie as well at one point.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the next minute, I see people with trading cards and it just got huge. I mean, TV was talking about it at one point and whatnot. So I only knew about the card game very late, so that's why probably another reason why I never really got into it as well. So
that's fair enough. James, what was your experience with Pokemon? Oh,
yeah, I mean, because we're the same age, I remember it just exploding into school. And like I said, I don't actually remember many people playing the game.
Mm.
It was
more about the trading.
It was the trading. They were trading cards.
Yeah.
As far as most of us was concerned. Yes, there was a game attached to it. No one ever actually played it. It was just about collecting the cards.
Yeah. And obviously everyone wanted that fabled Charizard, much the same as now, because that's the one that goes for silly money.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was always that thing of, you know, the trading was a game in itself, as far as I was concerned. But yeah, I eventually got around to playing the actual game.
It was because it was manageable. Mm. Like you said, the original 150 Pokemon, so you only needed to collect 150 cards.
Mm-hmm.
How many is there now?
Oh, God.
I wouldn't like to say. No. It is.
Fair enough.
I'm pretty sure it's like 700, 800, if not more.
I don't know if you'd say thousands.
Yeah,
then.
But in terms of the game, not only that, but there are multiple versions.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it you've got the crazy. GX and the EX and
yeah. All sorts of weird terminology, and it's well beyond me. But
yeah, and the Mega Charizard. Yeah. It's just.
Do you still own any of them? Or?
No,
Okay.
No, well, that's a lie. Technically, there are quite a few in the house, but they're my son's.
Yeah, okay.
He loves collecting the Pokemon cards. He doesn't play the game, much the same as I didn't for a very long
time. Just collect it, yeah.
I still have some somewhere.
Yeah.
I had at one point the fabled...
Yes.
Shiny Charizard. I don't know if I still own it.
I mean, do you know what?
You might want to have a look, James.
I'm not sure because I don't think my parents ever got rid of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'd be willing to bet my entire collection is probably still in the loft of this house.
Okay.
Of which, if there is, I actually had four of those Charizards.
Mate, so, I think you need to take a quick trip up in the loft after this episode.
Yeah, exactly. But
I had at least one. But yeah, if it's gone, it's because my parents have thrown it out.
Well, if he's got four, that's one each year.
Yeah.
SS and paid for.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, arguably, I managed to come buy four of those, and it was through the trading. And I think you guys, when we played, was it Chinatown. Last night, you saw my bargaining skills.
Yes.
And how well they work. And now you
don't even start there, Jason.
Now you understand how I got four of those charms.
That game's forbidden in this house now.
But yeah.
Do you want that space? How much do you want that space?
Exactly. Well, I've got two tropical fish, James. Would you like some?
No.
I trade you a Charizard. There you go. That is my number four Pokemon TCG.
Nice pick, sir.
Shall we move on to the number threes?
Let's do it.
Number three, Anthony.
Right, my number three, we are going to go to a little bit more of a kiddier side to this, and my number three is Disney's Storyboard.
Ooh, okay.
Ever heard or know of it?
I don't know this one.
So Storyboard is essentially, you have a board of 8, 12, you have 12 spaces on there.
Mm-hmm.
You have six different packs of Disney movies, and you choose one. So Bambi, Sleeping Beauty, Pinocchio, whatever you want. And inside them are 16 cards to build the storyboard of the movie itself. In the middle of these boards is four players. In the middle of it is a wheel with Merlin on it. So you have two dice and you roll the dice, and one has letters, one, and the other one has numbers. And if you've got those cards in your deck of your hand, you can add it to your storyboard. But if you don't have any of those, you can spin the wheel and Merlin will give you a hand. He can either give you an extra Merlin card, which will give you benefits to the game, or a Tinkerbell, who's essentially the bad guy in this version of the game. And she can make you swap people's boards and stuff like that. So if I've got more cards on my board than I give to someone else, that means they're winning the game more than I am. This was a very big family-friendly game. And I've had this game for a long time. I still have it to this day. I had this before I even moved to Crawley. So I remember playing this in my old London apartment where we used to live beforehand and having great times of it then. I still have it to this day. My kids still play this to this day, especially through COVID, because, again, it's one of those ones I completely forgot that I had up in the loft and thought we'd get it down. And, you know, her being into Disney as much as I was growing up and whatnot, this was a very great experience to have. It's so easy to play. It's literally roll dice, and if you don't have the card, spin the wheel. If no one has that, move over to the next player. Hundreds of fun. Great. You know, you've obviously got so many storyboards to build if you want to. I had to have this in my top five because this is one that stapled me for being a Disney fan as well. So
nice.
Yeah, Disney Storyboard. Absolutely love that game.
I'm genuinely amazed I didn't know of that, because, again, I've been a fanatic Disney fan my entire life.
Yeah, I know you love your Disney,
as my family are. So I'm amazed that this... It either didn't come into my life or I've forgotten about it.
I'll be honest, man, I don't even know how it came into mine. I don't know if my parents picked it up or if it was a gift for a birthday from a grandparent. I completely forgot about it, whatnot. I just remember my parents setting up one day and teaching me how to play it. Again, it's just... You know, so easy to pick up.
Nice.
And just, you know, you're building your Disney movie. I'm quite surprised they've not done anything similar to that nowadays. But again, I guess it's all about miniatures. And this is essentially a card game, just adding it to a board at the end of the day. So it might not be as fun for people nowadays, but it'd be nice to see like a nice little revamp of it. It'd be quite cool.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if it wasn't something that we didn't see. To be honest, yeah. I can't see why they wouldn't read it.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if anyone out there listening to this knows about it, comment below, let us know. I don't want to be the only person that knows about this game. But yeah, Disney Storyboard, my number three.
Nice. Very, very nice. Jammers.
Okay, my number three is the dreaded Monopoly.
Is wow. it really? It's actually yeah. on the list.
It's on the list. Oh, come on. It's got to be on one of our lists.
It's not on mine. I'm glad it's been on yours.
It has to be the family ruining game since whenever it was released that causes the most family arguments of any board game that's ever existed, Monopoly.
So just the original or a specific version?
The original. I think my parents had a really old copy of it.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, dreading when someone got Mayfair and getting a hotel on it, the fight to own the train stations and the waterworks and the electric company yeah. and all that kind of stuff. The do not go straight to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect £200.
Yeah. And you always get that when you really rely on that £200 yeah. as well.
Yeah. Another life lesson I learned from a board game is like, no one is just going to hand you £200.
No. Yeah.
Come on, I've been around this board how many times? Where's my money?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Do you know what? I give Monopoly a bad rap all the time. And generally, games of that era get yeah. a bad rap from me. All joking aside, like, if I was to tear Monopoly apart, you know, and actually figure it out, it's not anywhere close to standard.
No.
You know, up to my standards yeah, nowadays. The problem is it was another one of those games that was always played wrong.
Yes.
And that was to its detriment. You know, if you play Monopoly right, it's not as bad as it is made out to be. It's still pretty terrible.
It's the original board game. Like you said, the problem is so many people have learned it wrong and or house rule mm-hmm. too much stuff that you never actually get to play the yeah. game properly. But for the time, because it's a really old game.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot older than yeah. people seem to realize
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
For its time, mm-hmm. it's the original heavyweight game.
Yeah.
Not by our modern standards, but from the standards when it first came out, it is the original heavyweight game.
OG.
Yeah, it is indeed. I would never fault anyone's top five list, even when they are wrong. But you're not wrong in this instance, James. Monopoly has a right to be in top five lists. It's hard for me to say that. It pains me.
Yeah, like I said... I don't think my family ever actually completed a game of Monopoly. No. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. It's not on there because I have fond memories of it.
Yeah.
But like I said, I built this list by games that pop straight yeah. into my
yeah.
head.
Yeah. We've all played it at Christmas or something like that. But
it's ruined the mood.
as bad as we, you know, always mock Monopoly, I do prefer the different versions of it. Or the different IPs they do of it, like an Indiana Jones version or a Jaws yeah. version or the credit card version. Did you ever try that one?
No.
That was quite funny.
The Cheaters version.
There's so many of them. I mean, it's still huge to this day, isn't it, at the end yeah. of the day? So it does make sense to be in someone's top five.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about Pokemon cards being collectible back then is like Monopoly's gone from being what was just a board game to being a collector's item.
Yeah.
I know someone who used to collect versions of it. So if there was yeah. a different version, it'd be out.
Oh, hell yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
I think there's a wrestling loads. Version as well.
Oh, there's loads. Yeah. Yeah. Loads of different versions. I think there's a Crawley version.
Yeah. That surprised me. Full of potholes.
All sorts. All sorts. But that's pretty good, James. Nice. Yep. Nice. Number are we on? Number three.
Number three.
So my number three. I've actually changed my number three.
Cheater.
I was the whole of today. I was switching number three in and out, and I did make a final decision about an hour before we started recording this evening, and I'm gonna stick with that because the other game was Mousetrap, so I'm kind of glad it's got its representation. But I'm going with Go-Go's. Now, do either of you remember the Go-Go's?
No.
It sounds familiar. I'll probably not if I see it.
So they used to come in like a blind pack. You got like a little foil pack. You tore them out and it was like a little plastic / resin weird monster thing.
Oh, no, I do remember
these.
That
you used to flick across the table to try and take out your opponent.
I don't know these.
Yeah, I remember those.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. They had thousands of them.
Yeah, I see. I've got one in my honorable mentions that's similar to this.
Mm. And I absolutely love the Go-Go's because it, you know, another thing that's very popular in the UK, I don't know if it's a big thing around the world, is like the conker fights, you know, and this was kind of like the more permanent version of a conker fight.
Okay.
You were buying these things, blind drawing them from your packs and stuff, and you'd create like a little team of your things, and they'd be all different shapes and sizes. Obviously, the bigger they were, the more damage they were going to do to your opponent. And you'd sort of line them up on one side of your side of the table. James would set them up on his side, and it'd be my turn, and I would flick a monster. And the idea was I need to take out his entire monster team.
Right.
And I would do that by flicking my monsters, smashing straight through them. If it took them out, they were out of the game.
Gotcha.
He would then get the chance to do that to me. If you were that kid, really, that was minted and would be able to go out and buy booster boxes of these things, you'd end up with loads of big ones, and of course you would more often than not win. But again, there was an essence of skill in there because it was a dexterity game. If you had zero dexterity with your flick, it's like, yeah, I've got the biggest, best go-go's, but if my flick is terrible, I'm either going to flick it off the table or I'm going to flick it over your go-go's because they're only about, what, 2, 3, 4 centimetres tall?
Yep.
And about, you know, 1 centimetre to 2 centimetres wide. So yeah, you had to have some kind of dexterity there. And it was a basic game, but it was so much fun. And I enjoyed the collecting thing as well, because they were all really nice, bright colours. I actually found a picture of them while James was talking. That's what they look like.
Okay. They did look familiar, but I don't remember the game very much.
It's and like I said, there was thousands of different ones. And it appears that people are still trading these things to this day, which
I had completely forgotten about those.
But again, I think this might have been of the time. I'm trying to think how old I was when it was. This must have been.
This was the middle. Because that did
10, 11, 12.
I was going to say those predated Pokemon cards.
Yeah, they were definitely before Pokemon.
Mid-90s then, or?
Yeah, it's got to have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you took a middle school era for us. Yeah, I do seem to remember them being about 8, 9.
Yeah. The weird thing is, it was a fad. Yeah, it was a fad that just didn't last very long.
Yeah.
You know, they were maybe a year.
Yeah.
I think they were around, but in that year, they released so much. It flooded the market. Everyone had them.
Yeah.
You know, it can't have been long past like pogo things or go-go's and stuff like that. Because it was at the same sort of time that you had those really annoying rubber disc things that you push down and then they pop up. Yeah, it was a toy.
Yeah, yeah.
There was no game attached to that, but it was the same sort of era. You know, it was very little things with little minds. Yeah. is what that was.
That's what it took.
Yeah, it was. Like I said, I've got one of my honourable mentions that was around the same time as this that you might remember.
Oh, I'm sure I'm probably going to remember it. But yeah, that is my number three. Solid as a rock. I'm putting them in there. Is my go-go fascination. I really, really hope that when I eventually go through my loft that I find a collection of them.
Nice.
Because they were so cool, and I think my son would love
definitely.
It wouldn't surprise me if they've had a rebrand at some point and brought them back out, but I don't ever remember seeing it.
Mm.
But it was so much fun.
Yeah.
For such a pathetic little game that wasn't even a game, really.
It obviously affected you some way to remember it.
And like I remember going home after a day of school, you know, and playing loads of these games and going home and my fingers throbbing because I've been basically really hard flicking.
So you didn't go to school to learn then?
Solid lumps of plastic and resin.
You went there to play go-go's.
Exactly. That's what school was for, right?
That's it, mate.
There you go. My number three.
Nice pick, sir.
Let's go to the number twos.
Right, my number two. All right, so Jason, do you remember the first ever episode I came on to Meeple Minded as a guest?
Oh, that was some time ago.
It was some time ago, and you said to me you asked me about my history with games.
I would have done, yes.
Yep. Yeah. So I said to you, have you ever seen Stranger Things?
Yes.
You said yes. And we all know at the start of season one, there are kids playing fantasy games in the 80s. So my number two is Key to the Kingdom.
Oh, yes.
Now, this game is a game where I was probably 6 or 7 at the time it came out, and it was 8-year-olds plus.
Mm-hmm.
I admit I tried to learn the game. My parents tried to learn the game, and with great, you know, dis- displeasure of like trying to teach me or a, you know, 6-7 year old how to play this game.
Yeah.
It was just basically a toy at the end of the day because I had no idea what to do. I just absolutely love the box art. I love the board art. The board art is fantastic for what you can do. It always reminds me of like little board games I used to design as a kid where, you know, you go back so many spaces if you wake this up and whatnot. There are so many little things on that board that just pop up. Like there's a cyclops on one end, there's a water demon on the other side, there's a pit in the other corner, a pit of snakes and all that. And it's essentially you have to travel to so many parts of it to unveil and try and find the key to the kingdom. When you find certain parts of it, you can, your board can open up like a book. So it's even bigger board. You go through the whirlpool and the key to the kingdom is even, you know, much bigger than you anticipated on the first bit. And my God, I remember just like, wanting to play it as a board game, but at the end of the day, for what you get, it was essentially just a toy for me. But considering this is the top five board games that you remembered as a kid,
yep,
this one I definitely do. I can even picture the board right now, like I just told you now. I can, for word, you know, picture for picture, whatnot. And the little black wizard guy that used to follow you around everywhere, whatnot. Just fantastic. And I think they did really re-release it at one point or something. I can't remember, but the original is by far just some of the best artwork for, you know, a kid's, well, was a kid's game at the time.
Yeah.
It probably isn't now. But yeah, there's a lot of depth for a 6 to 7 year old.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah,
I had to put it in there because I think I had my 40th birthday 2 years ago. And my parents found a picture of me holding that board game in front of a camera.
Wow.
So it's just like, yeah. That definitely brings back a lot of memories, yeah. That proves I was a gamer back then.
Yeah, being taken, like having a picture taken with a game is like, I don't think I've got.
It's got the old Waddington symbol on it as well. Do you remember Waddington's?
I probably have. Did your parents not make you do that thing at like a Christmas or a birthday where one of them would have the old fashioned either like camera or video camera that looked like they were actually filming for the news because you had to sling it over the shoulder.
That's it.
And it, you know, taking the wrapping paper off it. Hold up, show the camera what you've got.
That's it.
We show that to Auntie Betty in you know, 3 months' time when we see her.
That's it.
And you had to relive Christmas Day.
Because she paid for it probably.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the old school video cameras where it was a full VHS tape.
Yeah,
you have inside it. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
That was an SD card back in the day.
Yeah.
VHS cassette.
Yeah.
I'd just like to point out our demographic is actually below our age, right? So we also
that's true, VHS
kids.
Well, that's another episode right there.
No. I had to, like, we've still got some VHS cassettes on a bookshelf. I had to explain to my 6-year-old niece the other day what
it was.
Yeah. What's that?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a tape. Like, as if it's the most simple, it's a tape.
Yeah. But to them, it's like, what is that?
Oh, yeah, you don't know what a tape is.
I mean,
it's crazy.
Before we get off the subject, I've still got a Betamax player in the loft.
No way.
I've got a Betamax player up there. So
that'd be worth something now as well.
It would. There you go.
So I'd like to talk more about it, but I don't remember playing it very much as a board game. So, but it was a board game and it was a big part of my childhood.
That's your mousetrap, basically.
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
Nice. Very nice. Jammies. Right. Number two.
My number two is Risk.
Ooh.
See, I've only ever played Risk once. And
yeah.
I mean, I played a specific version of it, so I've never played the original, but.
Yeah, the original, they're all much of a muchness. I think they just changed the figurines.
Right, okay.
There might be some IP-based ones where they changed the map.
But the original was like a massive one, wasn't it?
It was a map of the world.
Map of the world,
split into territories. It's one of the original strategy games. It's like you start in a location with a certain amount of troops. I think your three figurines, I think it's more sort of like Victorian era. So you've got an infantryman or a cavalryman and a cannon. And I think they represent like 1, 5, and 10 troops.
Yeah.
And you sort of spread them around your territory. So I think they're on cards, if I remember correctly. So however many players you are, you'll end up with all the territories on the map occupied. And the basic objective of the game is to be the last man standing.
Right.
And you have a set of dice, a red and a blue, I think, which is attack and defense. And that's how you like attack a territory.
Yeah,
you whittle them down, basically. Mm. And then every round you can like reinforce certain amount of territories done by card draw, I think it is.
Right.
That's what I remember like being about 6 or 7 not really understanding how it works, but desperately trying to play it because, you know, it's a strategy game. I like strategy games.
Yeah. Yeah, see, again, Risk is one of the OGs. I think we all played it as a kid. I've always wanted to play Risk Legacy, but again, it's a legacy game. I don't really normally buy into that, but it's still something I wouldn't mind playing at some point. I don't know if you can still get it.
Yeah, I'd like to tackle the original at some point. I don't feel like they re-released it or anything, because I played like a Game of Thrones version of it, and it was good for what it was, but I would just like to play the original just to say I played it, you know?
I think I've still got it somewhere.
Yeah?
Like we had a games cabinet, like the 90s version of Jason's Kallax, where it was like door cat. You opened it and there
was
just...
Was it like a dark brown color?
Black.
Oh, black. Okay.
Quite, right. No, that's 80s.
That's 80s.
I can just remember, like, because I was born in 88. So we were moving into the 90s when my memory comes in. But I just about remember the brown of the 80s.
There you go. Yeah.
At least we weren't around for the beige era.
Yes.
That's true. Yeah. That is true.
That's a stain on British history. That is. It's the beige era.
Wood chip.
Oh yeah.
Ever since then, have you played it? Learned how to play it? You know how to play it now?
I have not played that game since I was about 12.
Okay.
Because the problem is that I always liked strategy games. I couldn't get onto that, and then I got into video games.
Right.
And it's like, well, as soon as Command and Conquer came along,
Command and Conquer game.
You know, I'm not going to go back to Risk after like, oh, this is the modern version.
This
of that.
Is your Risk, yeah.
Into the cupboard.
Yeah.
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 Type thing.
Like we all did with them. I know I definitely did.
Yeah, 100%. No, very nice choice. Anything else you want to put on there?
I think we've covered that.
Cool.
Good pick, sir.
I'm interested to see if either of you guys actually remember this one, because when I was creating this list, I actually noticed there was evidence there that I had a gaming type even as a child, and this one was another deduction type game that was called Mastermind. Now, do you remember Mastermind?
Again, it sounds familiar.
That rings a bell. Like,
but I see a picture of it, I probably know.
When I was little,
yeah,
the childminder, like, who used to live next door, used to look after me, they had like a
wall of games,
bigger than your Kallax, and I think I remember Mastermind being on there.
See, Mastermind wasn't a particularly big footprint game, it's a very, very small game, but it was a two-player game, and it's basically one player has to create a four-color code, air quotes, using a range of pegs that was hidden behind a little shield, and then the other player had 10 rounds in which to try and crack the code that you had created. And by doing that, they sort of used coloured pegs and they put them in their four places, and then I would have to say I was the player that created the code. I would then have smaller pegs, ironically red and white, that would indicate how many of the colours or locations you got correct.
Right.
But it was never sort of, oh, this color is correct in this location. It's just you got two things correct.
Okay.
So they then had to
figure out which two they got correct.
They had to figure it out. And of course they got 10 rounds in order to crack my code. And if at any point they cracked the code, they won the game. Mm. If they didn't manage to crack the code by the end, I would gain. I mean, if you were doing the two player version, it would be you each got a turn as the mastermind, and whoever got the furthest down the track as the code creator would get the most points. So for example, if they didn't crack the code until code 9, I got 9 points.
Yeah.
And then we would switch around, they would do the same, and if they got anything less than 9, I was the winner, because I survived 9 rounds. But normally it was just a case of, we'll play it once, whoever had the code, if you either cracked the code or you didn't. So I either won by you not cracking the code, or you won because you did crack my code.
Okay.
And it was a really, really simple game, because it was just a nice small board with a tiny little bit of a plastic wall, and there were four coloured pegs. You could do any combination in any order.
Okay.
There was always four colours in the game. I didn't have to use all four. I could do three yellow and a green, or I could do one of each colour in whatever order I want. But it was designed that you had to try and, you know, sort of like cracking the Enigma code.
Sounds like that recent game that came out a couple of years ago, the Turing Table, I think it's called, or something.
Yeah, entirely possible. Yeah.
I mean,
I believe Mastermind actually had a reprint a few years back.
Right, okay.
I don't know that for certain. But yeah, it was, again, just a very simple premise. But again, it got your mind thinking. If you weren't the person who created the code is that I need to figure out, like, okay, I've put these four colors in. I know I've got two things right. Okay, so I'm going to assume that I got the blue and the green correct, but not in the correct location. So right. I then move stuff about. I was like, oh, hang on a minute. He's now saying I've only got one thing right. So what did I change? I need to bring that back and change something else instead. And like I said, 10 turns to do it. Put the pressure on you. But again, I started playing this when I was about 8 years old.
Okay.
That's actually just reminded me, it's like a staple of board games from the 80s and 90s, board games based on TV game shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, because as soon as you said Mastermind, I thought of the TV show.
Yeah.
But then, obviously...
Yeah, I remember the box specifically, very long, thin box, black. I think my parents bought it because they liked the TV show, but it was nothing to do with the TV
show. Yeah,
it sounds
really different.
But yeah, it was just a really fun game. I really remember it. Great fun. I was terrible at it, but I really...
But you still played it.
But I loved it. I still liked the challenge. I'm pretty sure that my parents were cheating all the time. I maintain that to this day. Because I just couldn't have been that terrible. But there you go. That is my number two. If you don't know what Mastermind is, I'd actively say go and check it out, because it's a really, really good, fun game.
Good pick, sir.
Mastermind.
Nice.
Let's move to our number ones.
Our number ones. Right. My number one, I received on my 9th birthday, and on the box at the time, it says 9+.
Okay. But
was it for 9+? No chance. We all know what it is. It's HeroQuest.
Ah, yes.
So HeroQuest is one of those ones where we're going back to what we're saying about those adverts that used to be on Saturday morning cartoons. Now, there is one that's on YouTube. There's an advert for it, but there's an original advert I completely remember where it was like a live action film where all these actors played as the characters you played and dressed up as orcs and whatnot.
I remember.
And my gosh, that looks so good. And I begged and pleaded for my parents to get this game for my birthday. And I remember my birthday, we went to Chesterton World Adventures at the time, and still no HeroQuest. And when I got home, there it was waiting for me. Now, let me just start off with that box art. The original box art is my favorite board game front cover of all time.
Oh yeah,
still hands to this down. Day it hands is down. By far it screams Dungeons & Dragons, but it's not, obviously, but it's just, oh my god, that I want it as a canvas. It's amazing. Anyway, so we're gonna go to the same principle here. So this is a game I'm slightly older from, having Keys to the Kingdom and whatnot, and I tried my hardest to learn this game. My parents, again, bless their hearts, they tried to teach it to me, but again, for a nine-year-old plus game, I just could not grasp the concept of it whatsoever. So, did you know that it was released by MB Games?
Mm-hmm.
So, my mum actually got in touch with Market Research MB Games, and MB come back to her, and they paid me to market research this game as a kid. So, they would send me away to like this place, whatever it was, and my mum would go with me, and we sat, and basically they would ask me, how do I play this game?
Right.
And obviously, I looked in the book, and the book shows you certain maps that you can do as a... scenario, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I got that concept, but then I didn't know what to do with it afterwards. And then they told me there's meant to be like a dungeon master and a dungeon, like very much like Dungeon Dragons,
of course,
isn't it?
Yeah.
It was like a massive eye opener. Like, this was the game. And then at the time, I never had friends that were interested in fantasy as much as I would. So when they told me this is how you play it, I was like, well, I'm never going to get to play this with people. So unfortunately, HeroQuest became another toy.
Yeah.
To play with in the end.
What a toy.
Come on. I mean, the minis you had for it as well, and all the furniture you get with it as well.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a doll's house for boys, if you will, like, but a dungeon crawl at the same time. And oh, my God. Oh, I wish I'd learned how to paint back then as well, because I would have done them all up. I love that game so much.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I still had my original one. I would not buy the Hasbro remake to this day. I won't bother, because I know it's not, you know, what I know it's not what I, you know, would ever want to give a go, because I want my original copy of
course,
it, you know?
Yeah.
But it was just an experience to like, oh, my mum actually went that extra mile to try and get me to learn this game.
Well.
And, you know, I had to put it down as number one. There was a very close call with something else
that
was going to be number one, but I'll put it in my honorable mentions instead.
Nice. I mean, I don't think there's going to be any arguing here, is there? I know me and James come from the same sort of cut of the cloth, if you like.
Yep.
We all played HeroQuest when we were kids. It got us into the wargaming side. You know, that was my gateway into wargaming.
Yep.
Huge game. Even to this day, absolutely fantastic. I do actually. In fact, I don't own the Hasbro remake. My partner does.
Okay.
Fact about it, if you like. Obviously, it's not on the shelf behind me. It is actually the game that is closest to my bed.
Okay.
Because it is literally next door.
Is it like a stepping stone to get you up on the bed?
I am quite short.
I would play the Hasbro version, but I don't think I'd ever own it because I think they changed it up, the box art as well.
Everything has changed, yeah. Obviously, the other thing people may or may not know, I'm pretty sure aficionados will, but obviously the original version was connected with Games Workshop.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why with the Hasbro remake, a lot of the terminology had changed. They were not known as Chaos anymore, from what I remember. But that's obviously because it was all Games Workshop terminology. But it was sort of like the stepping stone, wasn't it, between sort of role play and the war game front, because you had that dungeon crawler aspect to it. But then you had the gorgeous miniatures of wargaming of the time. And there are people that will still say those miniatures are better than anything you see now. Yeah, every miniature out there nowadays is filled with detail, but there is just something so special about those miniatures that come with the game. And of course, I think it would be wrong of us not to mention the fantastic YouTube video by the Bard.
Yes.
I've seen that's good.
Bardic broadcast. Yeah. Because that's always good when you're talking about it. All I was the gargoyle.
The gargoyle. This is a gargoyle.
And that's the thing, because they were color coded back then. I don't know if the Hasbro one's done it.
They are color coded, yes.
Yeah, but they were, I remember that. Like the orcs were green, the skeletons were white, you know, and the heroes were red and whatnot. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was just everything about that game was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and it obviously spawned a couple of expansions.
Space Crusader was another one.
You had the standalone ones as well, which just, they were good, but they never hit the heights of HeroQuest.
No.
You know, and you get, obviously you spawned HeroQuest Advance as well. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
But again, it just lacked that magic that came with the first one.
I'm kind of gutted that, you know, it wouldn't come to the table back then when I was young, but unfortunately, going back to what James was saying about video game consoles, like the NES was at its peak at the time.
Oh,
so all the kids were putting their board games away to get the Nintendo at the time and whatnot. So I was still that last guy that got the Nintendo last. I was still trying to get people to play board games back then. It was just a shame that, you know, if the NES wasn't around at the time, people probably would, you know, played it back then. I probably would have a better time with it as well.
Nice. There's no arguing with me. Fantastic pick.
Yep.
Thank you.
Fantastic. James.
Well, segueing nicely into my number one is the game that I discovered around sort of 12, 13 years old when somebody bought one of the miniatures into school, and that is Warhammer.
Nice.
Specifically, Warhammer 40,000. I was never really into the fantasy game. But yeah, I remember one of the kids in my class bringing in the old boxy dreadnought.
Solid metal one. Was it the metal one?
Was it? Yes, it would have been the metal one.
Yeah.
With its assault cannon and its power claw, and it was fully painted up, and I just sort of went,
oh, nice.
What is that?
Yeah.
I remember, because that would, like you said,
I would be if I was that age.
Boxy one that had the heavy duty weight, because it was the pewter metal, but it also had sort of the, like you said, the big guns, but it was very T-Rexy.
Yeah,
it
very stubby arm, but it looked so cool.
Yeah.
At the time, I didn't know about Games Workshop or anything about that. And I just thought it was a cool model. Anyway, oh yeah, there's a game. There's a game attached to this.
Yeah.
And, plonking the rule book.
Yeah.
Clunk.
Yeah.
And then just that's it, down the rabbit hole from there.
Yeah. Yeah, and I remember the first time I got into 40K. That was the only time I was into 40K, because I was the polar opposite. I was more into fantasy, but everyone played 40K. And it was all Space Marines, you know, that blue, that gorgeous royal blue.
Yeah.
With those gorgeous boxy tanks that looked like they were straight out of the First World War, but with modern armament on them.
Yep.
And it was just like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah, this is so cool. Back when you could spend your pocket money on Games Workshop products.
I genuinely remember you could. Five. But I would get £5.
Five Space Marines for £5.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. What a time.
Was it 50 quid for five now?
It's not far off of that. Yeah.
But they don't sell them in that small. The problem is not the price. If you actually worked it out, it's probably, there's been a bit of an increase, but right, not that much. But they do not sell them in boxes of five anymore. Small boxes for young people who are just getting into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Not only that, when you're learning to paint.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's like you're going to make a mess of the first couple of models. That little £5 pack was brilliant for that.
Mm.
But yes, as much as I will stand on a soapbox and rant at that company all day long, I still play their games to this day.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It was the start of your hobby, yeah, essentially, isn't it?
Probably the start of my entry eventually into modern board gaming, as I came away from tabletop a bit and have now come back to it.
Mm.
But yes, definitely. At the point, if I hadn't discovered Warhammer, I would have gone fully into video games. At that point, yeah, and then just all the board gaming would have just been pushed aside and tabletop gaming. But yeah, it's almost like a foot in the door.
Yeah,
still. Yeah. Was holding that.
Always gives me good memories as well, because I obviously went to the after school clubs as well.
Yep,
that
as
were
did 40K
I. Based. You know, I made a lot of friends through that as well. So I can't fault that at all. Like, 40K was fantastic when I was a kid. I didn't do it for too long, but I really enjoyed the time I did. I spent a lot of my parents' money.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure they were really happy when I decided that I didn't want any more of it for Christmas. So
I remember begging, like, very similar to Ant's story about his game, begging my parents for a Land Raider, because obviously that was the be-all and end-all the time.
I remember doing the same, that I remember that because I was offered a bike for Christmas or something like that, and I was like, no, I want the Land Raider.
Yeah, but there's at the time, because, you know, I do get it, you know, when you can look at it from the perspective of being older, sort of like, it is an expensive hobby.
Oh, yeah.
Your parents are constantly questioning whether you're going to drop this next week.
Yeah, is this a fact?
And it's just sort of like, yeah, £5 box of men, or a £5 for a dude on a motorbike, £30 for a tank. You know,
it's nothing now, is it? You think about it.
Yeah, in sort of 1996, 1997, £30 was a lot of money.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I remember for my birthday, like, coming down, opening it, and it just,
it was there.
The box, the Land Raider. It was just, yes, I have one.
I'm glad it wasn't an Eric Cartman with the yellow Mega Man incident, mate. That would have been amazing.
That's the point, isn't it? When you just sort of, memories of a kid, because it's like, at that point, you loved your parents so much.
Yep.
Yet the day before, you've been arguing because they wouldn't let you have that chocolate bar that you wanted in the shop.
Yep.
And that you said you weren't their child.
This was Jason's tactics back in the day.
Very Kevin and Perry-esque, you know what I mean? It's like,
you seriously were Eric Cartman as a child, weren't you?
I can picture that with him doing it.
I can definitely see that. But no, fantastic choice, James.
Think so.
Fantastic. Are we ready for my number one?
Let's hear it.
Because I don't think you guys are ready for it.
I'll try and be.
So, I cannot stand sports at all. Absolutely hate sports.
I think I know what is coming.
Yet, growing up, I was a fanatic football fan. And yeah, I have to mention, say, my number one is Sabutia.
Yeah, honourable mention from me, that was.
Yep.
So, yeah, you guys obviously remember Sabutio. I loved it as a kid. Growing up, I was a fanatic football fan in a house full of fanatic football fans. I was able to play this more times than I think any other game in existence to this day. It probably, you know, if I was logging BG stats back then, what a boring list it would have been. Because it would have just been Sabutio after Sabutio after Sabutio. I played it with my friends. I played it with my family. Again, it was another flicking dexterity game.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Really hurt my damn fingers. But cool was it to get that nice green map?
That map was always a problem for me, because it never laid flush.
Oh, it never did. And no table.
Unless
was
someone
big
ironed it. Yeah. There must be people that have done that as well.
But yeah, my
yeah, come on, I mean, you did, didn't you?
I didn't, but my mum did.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, you know, because we had a fairly sizable dining table back then, but it always dragged off the edge. So it was like, no, we have to play it on the floor because we need
the ball
lines.
Always come off, yeah.
And it was like, oh, it was so, so good. We'd take up the entire floor, you know, and mum would want to come through doing the hoovering. It'd be like, no, bugger off. You know, I'm about to score, so go away.
Don't hoover up the ball.
Go and get me some, like, I don't know, chips or something, you know. it was so, so cool. It had nothing to do with the actual teams that were on it, you know, because they weren't miniatures of the actual players. They were just stock miniature men on a little.
But they were all painted disc. As well and everything.
They were, yeah. Fantastically painted. I knew what team it was. You know, I obviously, if you look really close, it wasn't going to have like the
no, it wasn't going to have like the player or so, but you at least you had like even the referees were all done. Your goalkeeper was all painted. Everything, yeah, really good for
and
a start.
Again, it's another game that is still around to this day.
It is, yes.
You know, and I don't know how good the production is on it because obviously football kits have got very extravagant now, and I can't imagine that's all painted on these tiny little miniatures. But
did you buy like specific teams back then as well? It's like an add-on, like an expansion pack,
yes,
if you will,
they
wasn't
did,
it?
Yeah.
I swear they did. Yeah.
Obviously, my family were fanatic Liverpool fans, yes, so I had to have that.
Yeah.
You know, and I was banned from having a Manchester United team because, you know, the rivals and all that rubbish. Course. But you know, yeah, you could. Yeah, I think the standard pack you came with like a blue and a red team.
That's right. Yeah,
And then you could buy the individual.
Yeah, I remember
ones.
Remember that you could. Yeah,
and oh, it was what a game.
Yeah,
so simple.
But I remember it was more than just a game. At one point, it became like a model kit as well.
Oh, it did.
Because I think you could buy like crowds as well. They can go around your board and everything.
Like Sky Electrics. You could build stadiums and all that kind of stuff. It's like, I don't really need this, but...
The thing I... Because I remember, like, the rich kid in our class had all of that.
Of course,
and it looked amazing when it was all set up, but it actually made playing the game...
It did, because you had to leave.
You
couldn't get into the stand to actually flick the player.
Do you know, I love this game so much. I actually remember talking to James about it probably about half a year ago, in fact, where I was actually tempted to buy a new version of it because I wanted to play it again.
I actually have an Italian woman in my crew and I was going to ask her to buy me one when she goes back to Italy.
Nice.
But no, I'll just wait for yours instead.
I think I'm over that phase.
I was going to say, the one thing that would put Jason off, he'd have to iron the mat.
Yeah, I ain't doing none of that. Neoprene mats.
Neoprene mat. Oh, that'd be good. Neoprene mat.
That's what we want. But yeah, Sabutio. Fantastic. I don't know if that was a worldwide thing. I'm sure it was.
I think it was, yeah.
But what a phenomenon that was. I remember when that came out.
I believe like in like America, they done it, but with their sport.
Of course,
like, there was like an NFL version of it or a hockey version of it, I believe.
Yeah, football, but played with hands.
But it was Sabutio essentially with the American sports side of it.
Of course. But yeah, there you go. Sabutio.
Good choice, sir.
That was my number one mention. Had to be. You've obviously mentioned a couple of honourables. Have you got any others that you would like to mention?
I do. Do you want to go first?
I'll do my honourable mentions first. Sabutio was on my honourable mentions, as was, I don't know if you remember these, I said, around about the same era as Go-Go's, it's Pogs.
Yes.
Yep. Pogs was one going to be on my list, yeah.
I had Pokemon TCG on mine, Uno.
Yep.
Jenga.
Oh,
pretty,
course, yeah.
pretty standard. Pretty,
yeah.
Battleship was on my honourable mentions. Yeah. Cluedo, Guess Who, Kaplunk.
Yeah, I remember Kaplunk. Yeah,
yep. Definitely.
So those are my honourable mentions.
Oh, very, very nice. I probably would match most of those, to be fair. I'll say Cluedo, but for the Americans, Clue.
for God's sake, why would they have that?
I don't know why that was changed.
Because they can't go the dough at the end. Yeah.
And any other?
Yeah, so you have a Thunderbirds game in your collection.
The original one?
Essentially had like a downgraded 80s version of that.
Yeah.
Obviously not as thematic, but I can't remember the specific board name of the board game, but it was Thunderbirds.
I think it was literally just called Thunderbirds, the board game.
Was it? Oh, okay. Yeah. Not quite sure if it's a board game, but it's kind of like it. I got down Scribble Scramble. I don't know if anyone remembers that at all. Dizzy Dinosaur. Did anyone know that one?
I don't know that one.
No? Sorry, James, I interrupted you.
Scribble Scramble. Oh, it's not quite.
It's not,
a game,
is it? No,
but it's more. It's more of a toy.
Yeah, yeah. As I say, it's a thin line between the toy and the, yeah, the board game, as or a game
if,
of such.
If it, isn't it? If it was a game, it would be a single player game, and it is almost a dexterity game because you had to move everything. Oh, they've completely forgotten about
that's
that.
It exactly. My last one, they actually re-released it a good 4 or 5 years ago, which is Fireball Island.
I remember that.
Yeah, yes. So the original, yeah, version of that, there was essentially obviously the same name, but I think the remake of it now is a bit more thematic than, yeah, the original, yeah, was. But yeah,
nice. I think the only other one I remember playing it quite a bit with my family was Pictionary.
Oh, of course, yeah, yeah.
And I liked that game because I was quite good at drawing when I was young. I don't know what the hell happened as I grew up. But yeah, I really enjoyed Pictionary as a kid. I hated Scrabble because, yeah, I still maintain I'm probably dyslexic in some way, shape, or form. But
yeah, see, that,
I was terrible
that,
at that.
That was never a staple in our house, Scrabble. It's also why I didn't put the real traditional ones of like draughts, chess.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. So yeah, I think there's a lot of honourable mentions there.
Yeah.
I think we're all covered.
Oh, sorry,
those.
Hang on. One more. Card game, Top Trumps.
Ah, yes.
Which was going to be my number one.
I've lost
but
track
I changed
of
it last
how
minute.
Many packs of those I've got in my damn house. But yeah, my son is obsessed with Top Trumps.
I love Top Trumps. They still go today?
Yeah.
Wow. I
think I had fighter jets.
Did you?
I got from an air show. So yeah. Fighter jets, Top Trumps. That's the one that I always remember.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there you go. Plenty of those. So a very quick breakdown before we head off. What do you think of each of our top five lists? Because I don't think we had any crossover.
We didn't have
I
any.
Nearly
no, we
had a crossover.
Yeah, with Mousetrap.
With Mousetrap. But yeah, that is but, yeah, three very different lists in my...
Yeah.
And there are 15 games all mentioned in total.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice. I would say lots of crossover on the honourable mentions, which sort of we all pushed. But yeah, the top fives, surprisingly, no crossover.
Yeah. Did you notice any sort of patterns with regards to your current gaming habits compared to your old school gaming habits? Like for me, I noticed that a lot of mine were deduction,
yeah,
based and dexterity, whereas those are two games that I'm less likely to play now.
Hmm.
No, I mean, Risk. I am a sucker for a bit of a strategy game, always have been, so that, but... Yeah, not really, because the others are very generic. I wouldn't say they have a type. They're just the staple MB games that everyone plays as a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the only one comparison with mine is the horror theme to it, like Ghost Castle, Terrascape Iron Now, and whatnot. Mm. But board games have changed dramatically since we were kids.
Yeah.
Like James said, they were very, very simple back in the day, apart from obviously Key to Kingdom, Hero Quest, whatnot. But it was literally roll a dice, move, do this, do that. Whereas nowadays, board games barely come with dice now because they're completely different type of board games.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Roll to move.
Hands down, one of the worst mechanics from that bygone era, isn't it, really?
Yep.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right, guys. So, top five list done.
First
official top five of 2024. I actually really enjoy talking about that. There's
absolutely,
a lot of
yeah,
nostalgia yeah, there. I look forward to doing our next top five after absolutely that. But anything else you guys want to mention before we bugger off ski?
No,
I think we're good.
I think we're done.
Excellent. We've been talking for a fair while this evening. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And until next time, I have been Jason.
I've been James.
I've been Ant.
And you have been listening to the Meeple Minded Podcast. Join us next week for more tabletop gaming goodness. Ta-ta and goodbye.